It's all the Lord's. Amen. Amen. Isn't that right? Victory in Jesus. What a theme. It's nothing greater than talk about how wonderful the Lord is. He is beautiful. He is glorious. He is all-powerful. We love to talk about Jesus. There's nothing greater. We are the church of Jesus Christ. We follow after the good shepherd who is Jesus Christ. He's coming back for us. And one day we'll live with Him forever. What a good news to share with people. How wonderful our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. It's good to be back in Albemarle. Now, it's such a wonderful, loving church and opportunity just to break the Word of God and just talk about. There's nothing better than just talking about the Lord. People like to talk about other people. People like to talk about business. They like to talk about nonsense. But we as the people of God, we ought to major in talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, I have my lovely wife, Lori Ann, with me. And we're going to spend time with you till Wednesday talking about the Lord. Some of you know that I'm originally from, I was born in Wadesboro, which is right down the road. It's not too far away, about 28 miles away. Yeah, I go through there every once in a while. Got family in that area. You know, my family settled much of this area. I even have an ancestor that goes back in the late 1600s here in Albemarle area. And the Clarks settled down on the Petey River down in Anson County. Anson used to cover from Baden County all the way out to the Mississippi River. It was a big, big place. You might not have known that, but they started splitting it up. And so anyway, they were Quakers out of Virginia, and they came and settled on the Petey River. And my grandfather that settled there, he, of course, being a Quaker, they didn't believe in war. But Quakers very often found ways to support the war effort. He had fishing boats there on the PD, and he would carry soldiers across the PD. And another thing he did, don't tell anybody about this, he was a gun runner. He would head down the PD, down to Georgetown, and out to the islands, like Barbados and places out there, and get guns and bring them back. And so you can still see some Clark River rats down in Manson County. I escaped. I don't know if I'm a rat or a river or what I am, but I escaped. God is good. I want to talk to you about how good God is, because He is glorious. He is holy. You know, for us to understand this passage, we have to understand who God is. And I want to read the first few verses in Ephesians chapter 2. And the title of the message, I'll share at that time after I read this, but I want you to listen. Chapter 2 and verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even while we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Amen. The title of the sermon this morning is Children of Wrath. And that sounds awful depressing. But really, that's what the Word says, isn't it? And as I said in the Bible class this morning, we have to find out why it's in there. Because it's important for us to understand just a little bit about what is meant by children of wrath. You see, the wrath is not from me. It's not from the church. It's not from the community. It is from God. And whatever happens with God is something that we need to understand and grasp. God is a holy God. We know that, right? The book of Leviticus says God is holy. He is set apart. He is above and beyond anything that we can think or imagine. We cannot see His face or we would die. He is so glorious, so majestic, and so holy. He can have nothing to do with sin. What is sin, you say? It is breaking His law, His teaching. To rebel is to break the law of God. To rebel is to be separated from God. How do you know that, Daryl? Well, in the first couple of chapters, in the third chapter especially, we have the story of Adam and Eve. And Eve was, and Adam were told and forbid to eat of a particular tree in the garden. And the story goes that there was a serpent that came one day into that tree. And she was led astray. Talking about Eve was led astray by that serpent. Instead of listening to the Word of God, keeping that in mind, she allowed that serpent to lie to her. You will not surely die. That was his message. You know, Satan just, he can just change the Word of God just a little bit. He doesn't, very often, he's not going to just give you a whole new narrative, a whole new story. He's not going to come up with something terribly different. He just will tweak it just a little bit. Make you feel comfortable. He doesn't want you to feel too bad of what you're doing. He might say, you know, guess what? They're not going to find out you can do it. Whoever they is. And so Satan tempted through this serpent, and she succumbed to that. And the whole story, how in their shame they tried to avoid God. That was something. Like somehow you can hide from God. Has anyone here been able to hide from God yet? You can try as much as you can, but you cannot hide from God. You can run fast, but you can't outrun God. You can try to box God away, but you can't outbox God. He's going to be there, right? He's going to see everything that we do. We sing, an all-seeing eye watches over me. Well, I don't know if you should picture this big eye in heaven or something, but it does tell you that He knows everything you do. Everything. He is a holy God. And, of course, when they sinned, the Bible says that they were cast out of fellowship with God, out of the garden. And there was an angel that guarded the entry into the garden. They were cast out into the world. Now, they didn't die physically right away, but spiritually, they were dead. They were dead men and women walking, so to speak. And they were cast out. And yes, they eventually did die physically. You see, the Bible says that sin is something that separates us from God. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 tells us this. It says, we're appointed once to die, and after this comes the judgment. We are judged and separated from God because of our sin. It's not that God doesn't love us. He loves us greatly. But once again, let me say, He is a holy God. He can have nothing to do with sin. And that's such an amazing story as we see the Bible develop, how that men tried to have fellowship with God, but man kept on failing. Now, if you think you can be perfect, you need to come back to the 2 o'clock sermon. We can't be perfect. That's an impossibility. And we're just anxious people. Hey, you know, have you ever thought about, maybe you've been here in a prison. I've visited people in prison, done some ministry, done that kind of thing. But I've never been in a prison. I couldn't move about any way that I wanted to. I've been in some places that felt like prison. But I'm talking about someone that's really in prison. They've lost their will, so to speak. People tell them when to get up and when to go to bed, what they can eat and what they can't eat, who they can associate with or who they cannot associate. Even their family, when they come to visit, there's visiting times. And so people know and understand, at least vicariously, what it means to be in prison. I just wonder about Adam and Eve, how maybe they regretted what they had done and how they wished that things would have been different, especially when you have a child being slaughtered, killed by the other. How they realized that they had been part of that by bringing sin into the world. And how sorrow must have flooded their heart to know that their child had died. Poor Abel. And as you read other passages in Scripture, you see the results of sin happening all the time. It's just one after another. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, it says that God grieved in His heart that He had made man. Have you ever grieved that you had children? Well, don't answer that. We love our children. We always, you know, if they've grown up and they've gone, we always love to see them come back and all that kind of stuff. We're not wanting them to camp out in the basement or anything, but we love to see them come back because we do care them. And so we know when something bad has happened and we grieve about our children, that's serious, okay? It says that God grieved in His heart that He had made man. Because every thought and intents of His heart were wicked continually. God looked out upon His creation, which He said was good. And when He had made man, He said it was very good. And yet when He saw His children living out their lives, He was grieved because their minds were full of sin, rebellion to Him, and they did evil after evil after evil. They rose up against one another and warred. They killed one another. They did all kinds of things. And we know that God brought a great flood against them in order to start all over. But when they emerged from the boat, they were still people. And though the earth had been wiped clean, sin remained. Sin continued. And we can go through the rest of Scripture and we see every move that God made, sin remained. Sin continued. Even when the children of Israel left Palestine or Israel and went down, what is known today as Israel, went down into Egypt. Sin continued in Egypt. They were there for 400 or so years. Sin continued there. God raised up Moses. Sin continued. Moses, at a young age, he killed an Egyptian because he was abusing a Hebrew. God led them by the hand of Moses as an old man, 80 years old, right? Led them out of bondage in Egypt, but sin continued on as they left. We know that even while Moses was receiving the word of God, they rose up to play and worship a golden calf. It's amazing how God does so many wonderful things for us. And yet we continue in sin. As if God doing nothing. God provides the rain and the sunshine on the just and the unjust. And we continue to say, not today, Lord. I've got better things to do. And even as Moses was leading the children of God in the wilderness, he decided a better way of doing things than even God instructed him, and God would not allow him to enter into the promised land. And he was placed and buried there on Mount Nebo. Wow. Sin continued throughout the story as we read in Scripture. We know that it is present even to this day. And Paul says, and they are children of wrath. And he said, you, as the church of Jesus Christ, at one time were children of wrath. God's wrath. God loves you, but because of your sin, he says, because of your rebellion against God, it grieves the heart of God that he cannot have fellowship with you. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God paid the price for the sin that we commit. Jesus went to the cross of Calvary that we might have fellowship with him. We would not give our own child. We would have a lot of problem giving our child for our best friend or someone that was a great leader among the people. But enemies? People that hate you? To give your only son for people like that? Who would want to do that? Someone that loves you more than you understand. Someone that cares for you that much. Our God cares for you that much. He loves you that much. He cares for your soul. And God desires to have fellowship with you here and in the world to come. Well, I just don't care that much about talking about the world. I just live here. Well, I want you to rethink that, because we will all face that day. One thing I know, I may not know a lot of things in life, Curtis, but I know that we'll all die. Every last one of us, regardless of who you are or who you think you might be. One of the things I do each year, I observe people that have died during that year. You know, famous people that have died. They come from every walk of life. They talk more about the people from Hollywood and people that are wealthy and that kind of stuff. Well, if you look in the obituaries, there are people that are not so wealthy and not so talented. They die too. People just like us. They die. And then they meet God. Every last one, they meet God. One of the things that I do not want to do, and I'm sure you don't as well, to meet God and my name be a child of wrath. I want to hear the words of Jesus. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Those are the words I want to hear. I want to hear his voice. They're going to be beautiful. They're going to be encouraging. Well done. Not because I'm somebody special. Not because I've done things just right. Because he loved me and gave his son for me. And I've received his son as my Lord and my Savior. You see, that's the difference. God wants to give us a name, a special name that's related to his son. God, Jesus is not going to make any mistakes on that day. Amen. Have you noticed? You know, people make mistakes, don't they? They just make mistakes. You know, sometimes, you know, we call our children different names. And I'm not talking about bad names. But, you know, we had about four children in our home when I was a child. And sometimes it was the fourth name that eventually my mother got it right. You know, it'd be Roger, Paulette, Dwayne, Daryl, whatever. Go through this whole thing. Maybe your mother and father did the same thing. But the Lord's not going to miss your name. He's just not going to do that. He won't make a mistake. You will not be before him, and the sentence that you receive will not be a mistake. You can stand before a judge and jury here, and people make a mistake. A whole jury of people can make a mistake, but the Lord knows your heart. He knows what you do and what you don't do. He knows if you have given your heart and your life totally over to the Lord. People say, well, I went to church. Lord, you got to let me into your heaven. Well, it's nice that you went to church, but that's not going to determine if you get into heaven. It's not going to church. It's being the church. You know, you can have all kinds of names that you can call people. You can call yourself a Christian all day long, but if you're not washed by the blood of the Lamb, you're not a Christian. You can call yourself a follower, a student of the Lord, but if you don't know His way, then you're blind. You can say that I'm going to have a relationship with God and I will be with Him forever. But if your name is a child of wrath, you won't be with God forever. It's a sad thing, but a true thing, that some people will be on the broad path that leads to destruction rather than the narrow path that leads to heaven to be with God forever. Paul, in this passage, he says something I want you to notice again. He talks about the spirit of the air. Starting at verse 2. In which you once walked, following the course of this world. We know about that. Following the prince of the power of the air. You know who that is? The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. You know who that is? You know who the spirit is? The prince of the air. Do you know who that is? That is Satan. Okay? Now follow me here. If you are outside of Jesus Christ, you are following Satan. No wonder we're called children of wrath. God can have nothing to do with our sin and rebellion to Him, and nor does He want fellowship with people that are following after Satan. Think about that. In Memphis, Tennessee, I went to graduate school in Memphis, Tennessee, and there's a Peabody Hotel there. And there's a ritual that takes place at the Peabody. Maybe you know about it, maybe you don't. But they have these ducks. They cross the road in front of the Peabody Hotel and follow after the mama duck, and they get into the elevator. They go up to the top. Then sometime they'll be coming back down the elevator, and they'll get off the elevator and walk back across the road. And they've got, you can Google that, the Peabody Hotel in Memphis, Tennessee, and they have it, I'm sure it's on YouTube. You can see those ducks walking across the road. They do it all the time. It's amazing how people follow after Satan. Just think who he is. I tried to describe you about the holiness and the righteousness and the glory of God. Who is Satan? Well, the Bible calls him an angel of light. I know that. And he's probably glorious in that sense. But I want to look deeper in who he is. He is the one that rebelled against God. He's the one that led other celestial beings in rebellion against God. He's the one that constantly spews hate and evil out of his heart and out of his life. He doesn't care about you. He hates you. If you decide to follow after Satan, and like those little ducks start waddling after Satan all day long, back and forth and up and down and all around, following after Satan, you know what he does? He turns around and says, good to see you. And then as he looks, he sees you on drugs. He sees you in prison. He sees your life in a wreck, because you've lived a life of sin and things of this world. And you know what He does? He laughs in your face because you are a fool following after Him. Have mercy when people so foolishly follow after Satan. Their lives become wrecks. Have you seen people that are addicted to drugs? How about meth? Have you seen some people that are addicted to opium? How about heroin? Have you seen people that can't stay married because they run after one person and then another and then another? You see what happens to their children? You see what happens to their lives? You see people that can't follow the law, how they're in prison and out of prison and in prison and out of prison. How they don't care about other human beings and they just will kill them in a second. I've got a niece whose husband is a deputy sheriff. I think he was up here at Stanley County for a while. Down at Anson. He said Stanley County is an area where there's a lot of drug gang activity. He said there's a lot of it. It's one of the major places in North Carolina with gang activity. I don't have to tell you very much about that kind of stuff. But I tell you, their lives are torn apart. That they would follow after pure evil. One of their occupations is to rape and to steal and to murder. That's what they're about, many of them. That's what Satan does. He turns people into animals. You can look at someone that is controlled by Satan in his life, and you can see that person. That gangster, that person used to be a beautiful little baby. Grew up and somehow Satan got a hold of his life. One of the things that Jesus did when He came to this earth, He came to defeat Satan. You might say, well, He came to save us. He did. He died upon the cross to do that. But if you read the Gospels, what did He do? He encountered Satan. As He came to seek and to save that was lost, He also confronted Satan when He died upon the cross. He defeated him. There's one religion that celebrates a day of laughter because of this event. See, Satan was all excited at the cross that Jesus was defeated. You see, Satan doesn't know everything. He didn't grasp what was going on. He thought he had Jesus. He thought Jesus was a goner. Hey, listen to this. He's got Peter denying him. He had Judas turning him over to the authorities. You know, everybody seemed to be just running for the hills. No wonder Satan was so happy. And Jesus was up there on the cross. Don't you know that Satan was excited? Until Jesus died on the cross. Remember what happened? While Jesus was on the cross, how that it was darkened. Remember that? Remember that the tombs broke over and open and dead men started rising from their graves and walking among the people. That would have freaked me out. Is it Halloween or something around here? No. Wouldn't have said that. But that tells you that heaven and earth was moving. That when Jesus was on that cross, I'm sure Satan was getting the Lord nervous about that time. And then Jesus died for our sins, shed His blood. The third day he arose, and Satan knew it was over. He goes to and fro even today, seeking those that he might devour, but his fate has been sealed. Today, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a child of victory. We have victory in Jesus Christ over the forces of darkness. We're just not part of some religion out here. We are a part of the advancing army of heaven, seeking those that are in prison, those who are in bondage to Satan, telling them about the good news of Jesus Christ and telling them to say, you don't have to live in that bondage any longer. You don't have to be in Satan's prison. You don't have to allow him to destroy your life. Jesus loves you that much. You can go from a child of wrath because of sin to a child of victory because of Christ. You see, that's the good news. I'm here to share good news with you. We don't have to be damned. We don't have to be separated from God throughout eternity. We just don't have to do that. If you end up in hell, it's your choice. You don't have to blame the church. You don't have to blame God. You don't have to blame Jesus. Jesus has made the way. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no man can come to the Father except through me. You've heard that this morning. You've heard that you don't have to be a child of wrath. You know, the Bible tells us very plainly that Jesus is that way. And you've got to receive him into your life, into your heart. See, you can't just live any way you want to live over here by yourself and say, well, I believe in that religious stuff. I'm a Christian. No, you're not. If you spend a night in some type of chicken coop, it doesn't mean that you're a chicken either. You see, you got to receive Christ in your heart. That means he's got to be Lord over your life. You got to receive him as the Redeemer. And you follow after him rather than following like a duck after Satan. You turn away from Satan, turn towards God in Christ. And you say, Lord, I don't want to remain in sin. Sin is bondage. You think, well, I'm going to do what I want to do. No, you don't. Sin makes you a slave. That's who you are. You're a slave. You're a servant to whom you obey. If you obey sin, you are a slave to sin. But Jesus said, I want to set you free. Amen. Repent. Come to me. Turn away from this world. And I will take you to places you will be amazed. Even this earth and in the world to come. Well, then you get to go through the ceremony of baptism. Isn't that a wonderful thing? To see someone publicly say, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. You know what you do when you're baptized? I can go into the history of that. There's some really interesting history on baptism. But you get dressed into a garb. You've got some type of white robe or whatever. That's symbolic of purity, isn't it? You get dressed and people will be singing a song out here. And the Apostle Peter described it in an interesting way because there were people that heard him preach. And the Bible says they were convicted or they were pricked in the heart. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we do with our sin problem? Maybe you feel that way this morning. You've got this load in your heart. Don't worry about that. That's the way it should be. If you're being convicted, that's the Holy Spirit working in your heart. That is a good thing. You see, Dr. Holy Spirit wants to come and do surgery to remake you, to help you be what he wants you to be, to recreate you in the image of Jesus Christ. And you're baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. That's what Peter told them. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. So this old man, this child of wrath, is buried into the waters of baptism. Now, we're not going to leave you down there. Curtis, you won't leave them down there, will you? You'll help them up, right? That old man is buried and he stays there, but that new person is raised up. And when you come out of the waters of baptism by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit, by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are like a baby, spiritually, clean, washed. And your name is no longer Child of Wrath, but you are Child of the King. Victory in Jesus. What a glorious thing. This morning, the gospel has been preached to you. You understand what is at stake. You know how to respond to that and how that God loves you so much. So why don't you come as we stand and sing this song of invitation.
Trusting in His grace this hour, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed
in the blood,
in the soul,
cleansing blood?